Only what we do for Christ is going to last. We cannot afford to be distracted by the things of this world.
And now for Distracted.
Thank you for joining us for Brothers of the Word. Because, brother, you need the Word. Tonight, we want to dive into God's rich word, and I want to bring to you one word, and we'll talk about it as we go on through. As I was asking the Father and really just praying for you and praying about this meeting, I heard one word, and that word was distracted. And there was some movie, I don't remember what movie it was now, it's so long ago. But there was this gentleman on the football field, and it was some big game, Super Bowl game, and it was at the end of the fourth quarter, and his team was just about to win, and he was this star receiver, and, you know, the clock was ticking down, 10, 9, ticking down, and the quarterback saw him open. He said, get open. And so the guy ran as fast as he could to get in the spot. Quarterback threw the ball. I mean, it was one of those slow moments. And the gentleman was lined up, ready for the catch, when he looked over just for a moment and saw one of the cheerleaders, and just for a moment was distracted. The ball missed him just for a moment. They lost the game. How painful, how terrible. Of course, later on, he redeemed himself and all that. But be distracted just for a moment. And as you know, we're living in the last days, and the scripture says perilous times are here, and you're needed now more than ever before, and we cannot be distracted. Let's talk about that for a few moments. Let's go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, I'm going to read a few verses here, then we'll go on tonight. Matthew 13, if you've heard this, this is a very familiar text of scripture. And I'm going to go ahead and read it here. Matthew 13, verses 19 through 23. And it reads like this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. We're not going to be wayside hearers, right? Amen. Verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy. Or immediately with joy, receive it. Yet have he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. You heard that word on blessings and the word on tithing. Yes, I'm going to do it. Yes. But when tribulation or persecution arises, you see that bill. See something you won't. Somebody says, come on out with me. Let's do this. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and 30-fold there, right? All right, so the part we want to get to is that person right there, that third level. All of these came to church that day. All of these heard the word that day. Some bounced off. Some got it. Oh, man, it's good word, Pastor. Good word, Pastor, after church. What do you say? I have no idea. You know, it's great. But then there are others, that fourth category. Hey, the saints that are really doing it, really producing fruit. But then that other batch, you want to stay in here tonight. We want to talk about that distracted crowd. Get the word, get it in us. But the cares of life. I got to wear a mask. The cares of life. I got to pay this bill. The cares of life. They talking about me over there. The cares of life rise up and choke the word, and we become unfruitful. Unfruitful meaning we begin to go in circles. We put in the work, but we never see the fruit. We're on a treadmill, constantly going, but it's just not working. It's just not working out. Unfruitful. And there are a lot of people that really love the Lord. I mean, we really love the Lord. We study the word. We come to church. But if we look for fruit, we don't find very much of it. And we say, why isn't the word working for me? Now, remember, when God sends the seed of his word, it's to deliver us, it's to heal us, it's to do something. God sends his word as a seed to answer a problem. You have prayed about something, and God's answer is a seed. And so he sends a seed like he is right now, sends a word like he is right now. Hint, hint, a word that will solve the problem. It's in seed form. And he says, all right, I'm throwing it to you. Get ready. Get ready. Boom. Jesus is, of course, the quarterback. Hallelujah. He's throwing it to you. Here's a seed that's going to help you. That's going to solve that financial problem, that relationship problem, that physical problem. I've got it for you. That's going to solve that business problem. Here's a word. It's coming. But we get distracted. Sitting in church. Man, what am I going to do about this? I got to pay rent. I'm hungry. What am I going to eat tonight? What am I going to do? What did you say? Oh, get back to him. Okay, yeah. So much stuff going on. This is the stuff generation, isn't that right? Not only do we have clutter in our homes, we have a lot of mental and emotional clutter that has not been cleaned out in quite a while. I was talking to one person not too long ago, and I asked them, they came for prayer. And I asked them, take this pad, and I want you to write down the names of anyone that has hurt you and offended you. Anyone that has hurt you and offended you. So write down four or five, if you can. And about maybe 25 names later, we realized that there was a lot of emotional clutter in their heart. A lot of people that have hurt and offended us. A lot of people that we're still holding in unforgiveness. And remember, when someone does something against you, they are sinning against you. You realize that, right? They have sinned against you. And when someone sins against you and you hold their sin against them, you bring their sin into yourself, not realizing that you have your own sin to deal with. And now you're compounding your sin with their sin, and you're holding their sin. That horrible sin stinks. I'm sorry, it stinks. It has a very disagreeable odor. And we're putting that inside of us. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to hold this sin against you because I want to punish you for what you've done to me. Well, when you hold that sin in you, of course, it causes us to diminish. It brings all sorts of bitterness and chaos. And really, it's a breeding ground for the enemy, for demonic powers to come in and torment you. You're really not doing them a favor. But don't you know, I don't want them to get away with it. You know, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I got it. And truly, God begins to deal with them and what happened when you release it. But as long as you've got it, you've got to deal with it. But God said, if you just ever let me have it, I will deal with it. It's up to us to have clean hands and a clean heart. Clean hands and a clean heart. Who has sinned against you? Who are you holding in unforgiveness? What's cluttering up your heart? What's choking the word? If someone says the word unforgiveness, or if you got to forgive and it strikes you, I'm not going to forgive him. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. She took my man. He took her from me. Let both of them people go. Are you understanding? We've got to move on. The only way you're going to move on is you're going to have to release, because unforgiveness anchors you to that moment. You'll have to look and see what happened. You'll replay it over and over and over and over, which means also you will damage yourself again and again and again, because every time you relive that moment, you bring damage to your own heart. You re-injure yourself. It's like a wound on your hand that you have to use all the time, and you use it and there's more blood. The scab never forms. It never heals because we keep re-injuring it. Unforgiveness re-injures yourself over and over and over again. But once you give it to the Father, once you give it to him, then the healing process can begin. There are two ways I want you to think about walking in forgiveness. Two ways. The Lord said that when someone curses you, you bless them. You bless them. Now, that word bless there, the word bless means to, it actually means to praise. What? What do you mean? Praise him? The word bless there actually means also to invoke a blessing upon. That is, you're praying a blessing on them. The word bless there also means to celebrate, to speak well of them. Jesus said, they curse you. They talked about you like a dog. They got in the corner and they said all those things. They wrote those nasty things about you on that old Facebook thing. They did all of that. Jesus said, I want you to bless them. This starts the healing process. If you say, I can't even get my mouth to say those words. I can't even get my fingers at something wrong, Pastor. My fingers won't even type nice stuff about him. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to bless those who curse you. Then he says, I want you to pray for those that despitefully use you. He says, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for them. Now, the greatest blessing that you can ever pray over someone is that they be born again, that they be saved. You say, well, I think they're already saved and they're acting like devil. Well, that's another thing altogether. But if they're already saved, then you're praying, Lord, let them walk in their gifts and callings. Lord, let them walk in their purpose. Lord, let them have an ear for you. Open their hearts to you. May they dwell in your presence. May they walk with you every day, Father. May they experience your glory. You bring them into the presence of God and you pray that from your heart. And usually you'll find that the very thing that you wanted, you begin to pray for them. If everything that you desire most from the Lord, begin to pray for them, because then that comes out of your heart sincerely. And you'll find that you begin to cry sometimes. You begin to weep in the presence of the Lord as you pray for them. And what's happening? That's slowly coming out of your heart. You're speaking well of them. They said, what about me? Well, I declare they are blessed of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. I speak well of them. I speak well of them, and I'm going to pray for them. In doing that, God breaks the bondages of the tormentor off of your life. And then you can move forward. You will no longer re-injure yourself, and you can get rid of that emotional and mental clutter that's within your heart so that you can move forward from that place. Remember, we talked about being distracted. And when people offend you, when bad things happen, the trials of life, the hard things of life, if we're not releasing as we go, that means we get to carry the bondage of it. We get to carry the weight of it. We're going to have to release as we go. Release as we go. The parts in life that we're most afraid of, the things that we say, well, I'm having a panic attack. I feel so fearful. Why is that? Because we have allowed so many thoughts to come in and we haven't let them go. It's not the occasional thought that slips in. It's the thing that you've been meditating on for a while now. You've been meditating on it. We haven't released it. We haven't let it go. We have to get rid of the emotional clutter. Have to get rid of the mental clutter. We have to release it to the Lord. We have to give it over to him. Amen. And so the Lord says again in verse 22, he said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Which means, again, you almost did it. You almost caught that touchdown, that ball, that thing. You almost caught it. You almost made the money. You almost won it. Almost did. Becometh unfruitful. You on your way. I'm doing it. But then we got distracted. We let this stuff that we've been carrying hold us back and hold us down. Now, Jesus straightens us out about this being fruitful thing and moving forward. Remember, being unfruitful means that we're on a treadmill. We're doing a lot of the work. I'm here every time. I'm here on time. I'm paying my tithes. I'm coming to church. I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to do this. But yet and still, we don't see the fruit of the word manifesting in our lives the way it should be. All of us have that little measuring stick that God gives us on the inside of our heart. We know we could be doing better. We know some things could be better. Okay, television audience, I'm just talking to you. We know. It's in there. He lets us know it's there. But we're not as fruitful as we can be. We know there's more to it. We know there's another stage of glory. We know there's that fourth level where we are developing, that we're producing fruit some 30, 60, some 100 fold. We know it's there. What's hindering us? We're being distracted. Something that God has sent us is being choked out. Jesus straightens us out again. Let's go to John 15, and we're going to begin to close here. John 15, let's look at just about 4 or 5 verses here. John 15, verse 4, very familiar text of scripture. Jesus says here, abide in me and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And here's this paralyzing phrase here. For without me, you can do nothing. One reason that we become unfruitful, the cares of life, we begin to look away from Christ. We have begun to focus on working for God and not with God. We've begun to focus on all the wrong things. Let me finish reading. Verse 6 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciple. It's easy, again, to work for him, but not with him. It's easy to get off track. I had a vision one time, just for a moment, and I saw a man as he came into a building, I think a church sanctuary, and he was just bathed in cologne, you know, bathed in cologne. But when people came in, they said, they were like, ooh, what's that smell? What's that smell? And people smell different things. Somebody smell, you know, chicken. Somebody smell watermelon. But they smell different things. And they got all wrapped up in the smell, but nobody saw where the smell was coming from, the person. And then just like that, I saw that's how we can be sometimes. We get caught up in the presence of God, caught up in the things of God, but who searches for the God of the presence? Oh, I feel it. Oh, I feel it. Woo! I feel it. Look, I got goosebumps. Woo! But are our hearts longing for him? David said, you know, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul thirsts after thee, O God. We can get so caught up in the ritual, so caught up in the form, so caught up in things that we don't see him. We don't go after him. So caught up in trying to be right, trying to do it just right, trying to preach just right, trying to pray just right, trying to sing just right, trying to do everything, trying to usher just right. We can get caught up in the form and miss him. And then I pray we never hear these words. We stand before the Lord and say, Lord, hey, didn't I do this for you? Didn't I cast out devils in your name? Didn't I do many wonderful works in your name? I did all this for you, Jesus. Now, come on now. Break a brother off a little bit of heaven. I did all of this for you. But then Jesus says what? Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. You never cultivated a relationship with me. Yes, you did things for me, but Jesus is not included in it. The motive is contaminated. You really wanted the... Jesus said it didn't have anything to do with me. Where's our heart? Like the church of Ephesus, Jesus said, hey, you guys did a lot of stuff. I see what you're doing. You got faith. That's great. He said, but I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. You left me. When are you going to come back to me? He said, repent. Be zealous. That is, get to it now. Get to it. Because love is really on God's mind. He said, the first commandment, of course, you will love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, all of it. Second commandment is like unto you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love, love, to love him with everything, to give him everything, to not be distracted. That's a challenge, not being distracted, because really, tell the truth about it, we're only down here for a little while. Everything that you've amassed millions of stuff and fine cars and fine clothes and fine jewelry. When you go in that box, they'll all go to somebody else. We're only down here for a minute and then we're going to go back home. Only what we do for Christ is going to last. We cannot afford to be distracted by the things of this world, by money, by fame, fortune, whatever it is. We can't afford it. People are leaving this world fast these days. We can't lose sight of Christ. So I urge you tonight, don't get distracted. Keep your focus on him. Make sure you stay thirsty for him. Get in his presence. Go before him. Want him. Seek him. Praise God. Thank you for joining us for Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. Hallelujah. Amen.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled Distracted by Mark Stroud. This message is number 6570. That's 6570. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 6570 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.